You, Brother Ben Howard Jr. from Dawsonville, Georgia. Amen, Brother Ben.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you. Praise the Lord. It's real good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? And the Bible teaches us if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. Do you believe that? Praise God. And He'll not only give us desires of our heart, He will make the desires of our heart to be right so that He can give us the desires of our heart. Glory to God. Just so good to be back with you tonight. And we're expecting God to speak in a special way and do something extraordinary special, inasmuch that He would meet every need here tonight. Praise the Lord. And He's abundantly able. And not only is He abundantly able, He wants to. Praise the Lord. He wants to heal everyone that's sick. That's why the stripes were put on His body. The Bible says, by His stripes ye were healed. Already done at Calvary. All we've got to do is accept it. Praise the Lord. And it's well paid for. But the only thing you've got to do is accept it and believe it, and it shall be done. Praise God. I could hold something, my Bible up here and say, Brother Bill, here's my Bible. Come and get it. If he just sat there and didn't believe I would give it to him, well, he wouldn't get the Bible, would he? Praise the Lord. But if he put forth an effort to trust my word and come and receive this Bible out of my hand, he would get it. Same way with the healing. It's already paid for. The promise is already made. And did you know the Bible says not one good word of His promise can fail? Praise God. And it says God has promised and He also will do it. The Bible speaks of Abraham, and we're the spiritual, the royal seed of Abraham. And Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Amen. Amen. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When it looked like he wasn't going to receive it, he glorified God anyway because he knew that God couldn't lie. Amen. Praise God. When Sarah was old, too old to have children, she knew that God had promised a child to her. So the book of Hebrews says, Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. And being old in age, she conceived and bore a son. Praise God. The Word cannot fail. Hallelujah. This is the unfailing Word of promise. Now, what make it unfailing Word? The one that spoke it is here to see that it's carried out and backed up. He backs it up when we believe it. Praise the Lord. And He just didn't put it down here to leave it to us. He came with the Word to see that the Word would do exactly what it's supposed to do. You know, He gave Abraham a promise, but He just didn't put it on Abraham for Abraham to go and do it. He saw that Abraham did it. He went with Abraham. Abraham, a famine came to the land one time, and Abraham couldn't wait it out. So he went down into Egypt and so forth, and God had to send him right back, didn't He? Praise the Lord. Sometimes in serving God, maybe God wants to build you up in faith a little bit. Something you might have to go through a little dry spell or something. But always wait it out and believe the Word. Don't ever get excited. The Word's true. Be excited about the promise, but don't ever get excited when you don't see it coming to pass today. Remember, God is the God of His Word. He said it was going to rain, but it was many years before it rained, but it did rain because the Word of God said so. Praise God, and every promise that God has ever made has come to pass. They are in the process of coming to pass. Amen. And so what God's promised for us tonight is where two or three are gathered together in My name. He did not say He would send somebody to represent Him. Come on. He didn't say He would send a third person or somebody like that to represent Him, but He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, what did He say? There am I, personal pronoun. There am I in the midst. So I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is here tonight. Amen. Praise God. How do you know? Well, there's several reasons. But the main reason is the Word says so. That's number one reason. Number two, I feel Him. Praise God. I put the Word more than I do my feelings. Because sometimes, you know, feeling might be a little deceiving, but the Word is never deceiving. Hallelujah. So, number one, because the Word says so, therefore He is here. And He's here to meet our needs tonight. And He's the same as He was in Bible days. He's no different. He hasn't changed. There's a lot of, everything we see is changing all around us, you know, but the Word remains the same. God cannot change. He's here tonight to meet the need. Now, tonight we'll get right into the Word of God. I want to speak on a little message tonight. My topic will be adorning the gospel and defeating the devil. Now, we're here to, as Christian, we all realize we got an enemy out there. His name is Satan, the devil. And the thing we want to do is defeat him. And I'll tell you something real good here, that really, actually, he was defeated at Calvary. Amen. He lost his power. You know, in the Old Testament, while they were waiting for Christ to come, under the blood of bulls and goats, it couldn't take away sin. It just pushed it ahead, waiting till the one to come that could pay the debt. And Satan had them all bound in prison, you know, because the blood hadn't shed, they couldn't go into paradise. But they were waiting for the King of Glory to come. Hallelujah. So that day at Calvary, when Jesus was crucified there, that was the biggest mistake, the biggest single mistake that the devil has ever made. Because he lost every battle that day. Hallelujah. And now the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Thank God, even the smallest, Brother Bill, of God's children can defeat the devil. Amen. And God has put the Word here, and all we got to do is believe the Word, stand behind the Word, and the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word can fail. Hallelujah, and I believe it tonight. Yes. Praise God. You know, Satan had Jesus crucified there. Paul, writing about it, he said, if the prince of this world had have known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. They didn't know him. Too many people don't know him today. You know, when the Jews came, when Jesus came, the Jews were very religious people. The most religious people on the face of the earth. And they spent their life interpreting the Word and translating it and so forth and being sure every dot and tittle was exactly right. And they would read the Psalms about Him, the Lord of Glory, when the Lord of Glory would come. And there sat the Lord of Glory right in the congregation and they didn't know it. Amen. He walked up one time and the priest gave him a book. He said, do you have something to say? And he opened the book where it says, the anointing of the Lord is upon me. And he began to preach out of it. And the Bible says every eye was upon him. Amen. And many became offended at the words that he said. Even the great religious leaders of that day, they become offended. And they said, why, who is this man? He's just a man. So we know his brothers and sisters. Is not this the carpenter's son? From whence has this man this wisdom? Praise God. But God comes in simplicity. If we can get simple enough, we can find God. If we can get simple enough, we can believe God. Just take Him at His Word. That's all. Hallelujah. And He's here tonight. Praise God. I was saying the devil made a mistake that day when he had Jesus crucified. Because about 2 seconds after the life went out of that mortal body hanging on the cross, he was right down there in hell saying, "Satan, give me the keys. Give me the keys." Amen. He unlocked that prison and he let Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the patriarchs and all the saints of old, he led them forth from the prison. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 52 and 53 there, teaches us that when he rose from the dead, many of the saints came forth with him. Hallelujah. He brought them forth. He kept his word. Satan made a mistake. He lost his power. He lost his kingdom, and he's a deceiver today. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. Amen. The church of the living God is on the winning side. We're on the winning team. Glory to God, and we know that the devil is defeated. Hallelujah. You know, the saints that came forth, many of the people in Jerusalem saw the saints walking around on the streets there. A resurrection had taken place. Praise God, he brought forth those Old Testament saints. But what did he do with them? The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that when he ascended on high, he led captive to captive. He took them to glory with him. Amen. Waiting for the rest of the redeemed to come in. Praise God so he can take us all to the same place and we all have a good homecoming. Glory to God and shout the victory for 1,000,000 years if we want to. Glory to God. I feel him tonight. My, he's so good to us. He's so good to us. All right. Defeating the devil. That's what we want to do. And we can do that by adorning the gospel of God. Satan is making an all-out attack on the gospel in this last day because the Bible says he has but a short time to work. He goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's doing all that he can to stop this great, great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from prevailing in your life. But when Paul preached the Word of God, there in Acts 19, the Bible says the Word grew, it multiplied, and it prevailed. Amen. Hallelujah. The same Word and the same God is doing the same thing in this hour we're living in. The Word's growing, and it also said it's multiplying. Acts 12. The Word grew and multiplied. But that's not what I'm just sort of told the church the other night. I'm just sort of warming up now. Getting in the message a little bit. The Word multiplied. What is multiplying the Word? Well, the Word has always been perfect. It was perfect in God before it was ever wrote. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But how it multiplies, our knowledge of it is increased. And it multiplied within us. Praise God. So when it multiplies within us, then it prevails over every situation. Amen. Now, the word adorning, I want to minister on adorning the gospel and defeating the devil. Adorning is something, one meaning of it, I read several meanings of the word, but one meaning is, it has within itself the ability to be gracious of itself. The gospel has the ability to be gracious of itself. Praise the Lord, and it is gracious. But the gospel being gracious here in the book is not what we want. We want the gospel to be gracious in your life. Praise God, we want it get out of the book and into reality. We could, a king could get down and figure out how many soldiers he had and get them on paper. They wouldn't help him a bit. He could get a report, we got this many soldiers and we got this much strength and so forth, and that's not any good until it's put in action and he produced the soldiers. Amen. The Word of God here, it's only in written form. But we want to see it in action. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Satan has tried to throw a great stumbling block in the way of God's church. But it has come time now for God to remove all the stumbling blocks, to bless His people, and put the glory upon His people that He had before the foundation of the world. Praise God. So Paul, in the book of Titus, was writing a letter, and I would like to say this before I get into the message here. Paul, in writing this letter, was writing it strictly to Titus. Paul did not write this letter to be writing Scripture. There is no letter that was wrote here in the New Testament of any of the letters that Paul wrote that he said, well, I want to write some Scripture here, and he began to write certain things. No. When he wrote to Timothy, he even called names like, now Demas has forsaken me, and this one had, Luke is not with me, and this one has done this, and this one has done that, calling names. He wrote it and sent it to Timothy. But, and no doubt he wrote hundreds of letters. But God knew the ones that He wanted to become part of His Word. When the New Testament was being compiled, there was many debates on which letters should be part of the Scripture and so forth. And many tried to, it was a great debate, many tried to eliminate the book of Revelation from the Holy Writ. But God wanted it there, and it's been there ever since, still unchanged. Hallelujah. God watches over His Word. So the thing that Paul wrote to Timothy is exactly fitting for the hour we're living in. So I want to read here in Timothy and Titus, but I want to read my text here in Titus, second chapter, if you would like to read with me. Praise the Lord. And again tonight, before we read the Word, let's talk to the author of the book. The one that had it put down here, the one that sent it to us, he's the one that's able. And I know you've stood several times tonight, but would you just stand one more time in honor of the Word? And let's just talk to the Lord, and then we'll read the Scripture, and you can be seated then. Let's just all bow our heads and pray at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Thou art the great I Am. Lord, You're the God of us all, Lord. And You brought us together in this place, Lord. I believe it's the will of God. And Lord, You being God, You're able to foresee, Lord, and you knew before the foundation of the world how many would be here tonight. Lord, You knew before the foundation of the world every need, Lord, that is represented here. And Father, we come to You now, Lord. You being God and You being able to meet every need, we come to You humbly praying, Father, and asking, Lord, that You come now in a very special way, Lord. God, and You interpret this Word to us. You make this Word live. Oh, God, and may this Word not stay in the pages of this book, Lord, but may the flame of the Word of God, Lord, leap from this book into the hearts of the people, God, and it become a living reality. It become a revelation, Lord. And Father, that You give us that joy unspeakable and full of glory, Father. God, not only anoint me to speak words of wisdom, Lord, to benefit Your people, but I pray now, Lord, that You'll anoint the congregation, anoint each one of us, Lord, that we may receive the things, Lord, that You have prepared for us. In Jesus' name, we ask You. Amen and amen. All right, I'm reading tonight, second chapter of Titus. Amen. All right, the rest may be seated, please. Amen. All right, in the second chapter of Titus, beginning verse 7. It reads like this, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, Now, isn't these beautiful words of advice? Praise God, from the great man St. Paul to Titus. Titus was a very young man. And as Paul wrote these words to him, that they are so fitting for the condition that we live in today. And we'll continue reading. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I say we're more than conquerors. Praise God. Amen. I say we can stop the mouth of the gainsayer. Hallelujah. When we obey the Word of God, because this here tells me if we show ourselves a pattern in doctrine, being uncorruptness, and when we preach, have a sound speech that cannot be condemned. That means that we don't go off on little limbs and little avenues and make that a main little thing, you know, like some Christians in this hour have done. But all the Word of God is right, isn't it? Praise God, and we want the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm reading on down to get to my text. But that verse 8 I can't pass up. Let me just read that one again. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he which is of the contrary part, notice that, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say. Praise God. Now that's what God wants of His church today. He wants the church to be growed up in Him. And that's where we're coming. Alright, continuing on with verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Praise God. That simply means apply Christianity in your daily life. In that day when Paul was writing this to Titus, they had servants and there were slaves in those days. But Paul was giving some good advice. Today we're not slaves in the sense of they were that day, but we work on public jobs and so forth, and we want to please our master, don't we? We come on the job and say, I'm a Christian, then there's going to be somebody watching your life. Can you say amen? Alright, now just coming on the next verse, watch how it reads. Not purloining. Now, I don't know if you've ever checked that word, what it means or not. But that word purloining, not stealing, not deadbeating, and not not acting in a questionable way. Alright, but watch the next word, how he continued here. But showing all good fidelity. And that's just the opposite. That means to be on your toes. You're a Christian, you're bought with a price. Amen, and you're representing something. You're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, so you want to be that way. Alright, continuing. That they... Now here's where I want to get my text. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, adorning the doctrine of God, that means letting it shine forth in our life, dressing it up. And I want to read some more, but I want to comment on this first. You know, adorning something is making it come forth in all of its beauty. It's not flowering it up. It's not making it superficial, maybe like some of the great evangelists, like maybe Billy Graham would want to do sometimes, say, come and make a decision, and everything will be all right, and you'll be happy from then on. It's true when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings happiness and joy unspeakable and full of glory. But also, the Bible teaches sometimes we're in manifold temptation when it's the will of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we want to keep that good balance, adorning the gospel of God. You know, years ago, before I ever got right with the Lord, just a young boy there, I began to sell used cars. just as I came into my teens. And, you know, I would wash those cars up, and I would fix them up, and I would clean them up, and make them look the best that I could make them look. Because I wanted them to be attractive to the one that I was trying to sell them to. I would adorn those cars. I wouldn't run them through a big mud hole, or if I got them muddy and got them nasty, someone called and asked, have you got a certain car? I said, I have one, but wait till tomorrow to come to look at it. Because I wouldn't want them to see the car all messed up. Praise God. And today when you go to buy a new car or something, that new car salesman is not going to come out there with a car that he's ran through the mud hole, that he's ran into several trees with, and a car that don't look all that good. No, it's going to look so good, and he's going to tell you about it. He's going to be so enthused about it, show you how good it works, and if you're not careful, you'll get new car fever and go in debt. Amen. Praise God. But Paul spoke here about adorning the gospel. Now, that is not flowering up the gospel, but there are certain principles laid down in the Word of God that when we obey the Word of God, the gospel of God is automatically adorned when people see your life. Hallelujah. Can you believe that? All right, when we adorn the gospel and we walk uprightly and the power of God is flowing through our life, that automatically defeats the devil. Now, in serving God and living after this gospel, and we are becoming the Word of God. Amen. We are becoming the gospel. You are what you eat.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and we're eating spiritual Holy Ghost food sent fresh from heaven.
Amen.
Not some stale food. Well, there's a lot of denominations might be trying to eat last year's manna. But I'll say we don't need to accept anything except what God is serving for today. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that we'll need for tomorrow. Glory to God. God has a gospel here, and He's putting it in people's hearts, and they're reacting to it. The Bible says He put this glory in earthen vessels. Praise God. Now, when we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we all are disciples of the Lord. The brothers and sisters all are disciples of the Lord. Not the brothers and sisters, all preachers now. Ephesians 4, and it says there He gave these gifts unto men, the ministering offices, the ministering gifts. But we live the gospel. We adorn the gospel in our life. Praise God. And me as a minister, I have to be extraordinary careful about what I'm presenting and how I behave myself, because I am what I preach. A man and his message are one. Hallelujah. If I preach to you Christ and don't live Christ, don't express Christ, then you really don't see the Christ that I'm trying to present to you. Praise the Lord. And you, each one of you, as we go forth in this hour, Satan has been tricking God's people in certain ways. He's been trying since the early days. There have been wheat and tares in the church, and Satan would point out a tare or something and try to get God's people to stumble, because he could point out something or someone that had started in the way, and Paul said made shipwreck of their faith. That's always been. Amen. But now in this hour, God is calling His people together. Glory to God. He's perfecting them. He's building them up into the perfect stature of the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, when you adorn the gospel of God, Satan is automatically defeated, because in adorning the gospel, you're living the gospel. You're becoming the living Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Let me just continue reading here in Titus 2 here. And verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." So we can't exclude any, can we? How many can say amen? We can't exclude any, because the grace of God has appeared to all men, and He is the bookkeeper. It's not my job to keep the books, and I'm sure glad it isn't. He knows them that are, and He knows those that are not. Hallelujah. But it's our job to be a witness and to live Jesus Christ. One of the scriptures we read last evening was that they glorified God in Paul. Why? Because Paul represented the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God, in this hour the church not only is representing the Lord Jesus Christ, they're living the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, Paul quoted the scripture, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it's not I, but Christ lives within me." Glory to God. Now, when we begin to adorn the Word, we begin to live the Word and express the Word just as that man, Christ Jesus, lived the Word and expressed the Word when He was here on earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. According to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, that we become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We become part of the living Word. We do not put a distance between us and Christ, or between us and the Word. We are the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Word was made flesh in Bible days. We'll get on that in just a little bit on down the road. But we want to be careful that we show a good pattern in our life in all things. Sometimes when a minister has to stand up and minister the Word of God, and I always worry, afraid I'll say something to offend somebody. You know, we've heard somebody say, that preacher, he tries to please people. Well, I'll have to confess I'm guilty of doing that, but I want you to be pleased with the Word of God. Hallelujah. When I preach the Word of God, I want you to be pleased with the Word of God, because I believe you're bought with a price. And the Word of God is what we need in this hour. There is deliverance in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's all we need in the Word of God. Because Jesus is the Word of God, and He's here tonight. He's living in a people. Glory to God. It sure would make me feel bad if I knew I said something that offended someone. Praise the Lord. But sometimes Well, praise God, you know how it is sometimes. So I want to continue reading. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Now here's what the Word does, and the grace does. Verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly," whereabouts? In this present world, and that means today, 1982, we are representing something. We are either we are adorning the gospel of God, or our lives are tarnishing the image of Jesus Christ. Now that's a very, very straight, isn't it? But I believe the gospel of Christ, as it was in Bible days, false and true can be identified just like black and white. Glory to God. So we don't want to do anything in our daily life to tarnish the image of Christ, because we've taken on the name of Christ. And we're called by the name of Christ. And the Bible says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So the grace of God appeared to us, and it began to teach us. How does it teach us? Through the Holy Spirit, through the ministry, and so forth. And going on to verse 13, amen. Here's what we're looking for. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read now in the book of Philemon, the second chapter. Just get a few scriptures here that fits right. Or the book of Philippians, rather. Book of Philippians here. And I want to read in the second chapter, verses 14 through 16. Praise God. The Word of God's good, isn't it? Praise God. There's salvation in the Word. There's power in the Word. And the Word is very real, and God is very, very serious about His Word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the Word, as God gives it, it's given to change a people. The Word is given sometimes when you pull away from the world and the things of the world, it makes you look peculiar. How many will agree?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because the Word of God will change your life. Because all of us is born in this world, we're all human flesh, and human flesh is going to go the way of least resistance.
Amen.
Praise God, but when the power of Christ comes in, there's a changed life. Praise God. And God set us here for a purpose. And let's read here in the Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, "Do all things without muttering and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." Watch very careful now. "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now I want you to notice very, very careful those words there, especially those last ones. "That you may be blameless and without rebuke in a sinful world, that you may shine as lights in darkness." Now I'm talking about adorning the gospel of God and defeating the devil. I believe there is victory for the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe the church is a called out people. Called out and separated unto God.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, God typed it out. He called out a nation of Israel and separated Israel from all the other nations. And Israel was the apple of His eye. Glory to God. And in this hour, God's calling out a bride people that He's going to be married to. Amen. Fact is, He's marrying her right now by the revelation of the Word. If you become one with the Word, you become one with Christ. You become the wife of Christ. Oh, praise God. When Jesus was in the world, He was the light of the world. How many will agree? He said, "I am the light of the world," and so forth. But now here it has changed. Not that Jesus isn't the light of the world anymore, but He's the light of the world in another form. He's the light of the world in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why Paul was so careful to lay out in the Word that our life should adorn the gospel that we stand for and adorn the one that we represent and make people fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. My wife and I was in the meeting some weeks back before we came up here. And I'm going to put a personal note in. We were in the meeting and the minister got up and he began to hammer and beat. He tried to beat everybody on the head that was in the church in some way or another. And he got in such a bad spirit. And he got everybody else in such a bad spirit. And we left there. We felt so bad. It took me nearly a week to get over it. And I told my wife, I said, "Well, if that spirit came from heaven, I think I'll change my ticket." Amen. Because I tell you, I couldn't go with that. Brothers and sisters, we are to represent Jesus. Our lives are to express Jesus Christ, and we are to adorn the image of Jesus Christ. We are not to tarnish the image of Jesus. We are to make people fall in love with Jesus by being around us. We are the light of the world.
We're shining forth in the midst of a crooked and pervert generation where there's darkness and crookedness on every hand. But praise God, the Word's still right. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is still alive today. He's living in a people today. Oh, praise God, in the life of Christ is flowing forth through a people. Amen. And you can see that Word begin to live, begin to express itself through a people in this generation. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And the people are seeing God. Hallelujah. As He comes and lives in His people. Watch the next verse here now. Verse 16. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I want you to watch what we're doing. Adorning the gospel. How do we do it? It's letting Jesus Christ live through us. You know, when we say, I'm a Christian, that means so much, doesn't it? When we look at it in the real sense of the word as to what a Christian means, I'm not talking about it from the word of, like there in southern Lebanon where the Muslim and Christian, they battle each other, Christian in name. But I'm talking about Christ living in a people. This thing is real. The living Jesus Christ can come and live in a people. Hallelujah. And when Jesus Christ comes and live in you, you can talk to Him and He can talk back with you. Praise God. There's examples in the Bible. Anything less in this hour than what they had in that day, we can say we're trying to get to it. Praise God. But I'll say it's real. It's here today. We find that when Paul was on his way to Damascus, a mighty light from heaven struck him down. And he was led by the hand down to Damascus, but there was a disciple there named Ananias. I don't know if he was a preacher or not. You don't have to be a preacher for God to talk to you. But Ananias was there praying, and the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, there's a man named Saul over on the street called Straight. Said, I want you to go lay hands on him that he might receive his sight and that he might be healed and receive the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Ananias said, now, Lord, you know I've heard about that fellow. Now the point is, the Lord were talking to Ananias, and Ananias was talking back to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's real Christianity. Anything less than Christ in you is not Christianity. It's Christianity only in name. So Ananias and the Lord began to talk back to one another there, and the Lord said, yes, but Ananias, Saul is praying now. Praise God. And Ananias went over, laid hands on him. He received his sight, scales fell from his eyes. He received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and became the mighty apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. That and that alone is Christianity. It's not how good I can talk or how good I can't talk. It's not how great a vocabulary I have or whether it's not in any of those things. Hallelujah, it's in the living Christ. Amen. Words is only the ability to make a thought known. Hallelujah, and God is trying to make a thought known to us tonight. Hallelujah, and the words that I'm saying is just getting the thought of God to you. Hallelujah, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through a vessel. Amen. Adorning the gospel. Making the gospel glorious in your life. When you walk down the street, now you might say, Brother Howard, that's old time holiness. If holiness was ever right, it's still right.
Amen.
Can I hear another amen? If holiness is right, it's still right. And if it's God, if it was God's plan for us to be a separated people, separated unto God years ago, it's still right tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we as the people of God, we're going to line up. I'm saying we. Praise God, because we must. The life of Christ, the Word of God, and the love of Christ will compel us to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's something here stronger than anything I know of. It's the love of God. When the love of God comes in your life, and the Spirit of Christ comes in, and you see in the Word of God what it takes to please God, you will gladly do it.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. But today, the church, Christianity as a whole, has tarnished the image of Jesus Christ. Today, the land just about been burned over. Everywhere you go, you know, we go minister the Word of God from different places. You'll hear somebody say, well, that was a preacher came through one time and he preached good and he did this and he did that. But said, you know, that same preacher went out there and did other things and those things like that. Brother and sister, those scarecrows don't keep the real children of God from moving on with God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're looking at a people and we're seeing a people in this hour that is becoming the Word of God. We're seeing preachers grow up in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And I, for one, I am growing. Hallelujah. Maturing. There's going to be a matured ministry speak to a matured people. Hallelujah. And the only way we can mature is to grow up in wisdom and the knowledge of God. And the only way we can do that is get the Spirit of Christ in us, recognize what Christ has called us unto. He has called you according to the Bible unto glory and unto virtue. He didn't call you to be defeated. He didn't call you to be down and out. Hallelujah. He didn't call you for Satan to walk all over you, but He called you to be more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. And He didn't call you to be out there to be some type of scarecrow to keep people away from Christ. He called you and put His own life within you. When people see you, they can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Where is Christ today? We have got to settle it once and for all that Christ is in His people. Hallelujah. And if the early church lived the life of Christ, they adorned the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. This church in this hour is doing the same. Hallelujah. That early church defeated the devil on every hand.
Yes.
Until it fell away and went into the dark ages. But brother, the Word of God has come and God said, I will restore. When I speak of the church today, I speak of the most powerful group of people on the face of the earth. When I speak of the church of the living God today, I'm speaking of a people that you can see Jesus in. When I speak of the church today, I'm speaking of the Word made flesh. Oh, praise God, I'm telling you, concerning the real, true church of the living God. Amen. It's just making the right moves by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Making the right moves. And then our life, our words, the Bible says, by a man's words he shall be justified and shall be condemned. But one thing I'm seeing in the church today that I never saw before in all these years of ministry, I am seeing a spirit come upon the people, and it's the Spirit of Christ, that are willing to move up with God. Amen. That are willing to say, I need to grow. And I'm the first one to say it, I need to grow. Amen. Paul, he said the same thing there in Philippians, there in the 3rd chapter. He said, I'm pressing for the prize of the mark of the high calling of God. He said, not that I have already obtained, say. Amen. But said, I press towards that. And that's what the Church of the Living God are doing today. They're pressing towards that. And as we press towards that, we got an image that we don't want to tarnish.
Amen.
And that's the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adorning the gospel, and the devil is defeated. Amen. The devil can't point over here at... The name of your church is Faith Temple. The devil can't point over here at Faith Temple and say, well, that person there goes to Faith Temple, but, you know, I saw that person so-and-so, 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 you know. Or, where you go to church? Faith Temple. See, we want to present the image that will glorify Christ. Amen. And then the devil is defeated. The Bible says your adversary will be ashamed, having no evil thing to say against you. Amen. I heard a story one time. Way back down that area, down south, you know, they used to sell slaves. They would go over in Africa and get the colored folks, and they would sell them for slaves. But I heard this story, or read it somewhere, about this one buyer came by to buy the slaves. He looked at them all and so forth, but there was one there. That slave was all, he was just a working, just a hard, and he would do everything right, and everything he tried to do, he tried to excel in. He tried to do it exactly right. And the man looked at all the slaves, and he said, I'll buy this one over here. The broker said, no, sir, that one's not for sale. He said, well, what is he? Is he the boss over all the rest of them? He said, no. Said, well, do you feed him different from the way you do the rest of them? He said, no. He said, well, what make him so different from all the rest of them? Because they were having to whip the other one and beat them, and they treated them bad in those days. Whipped them and beat them and so forth to make them work. But this one they didn't have to whip. This one they didn't have to beat. This one he would just get right in there and just outwork them all. And so the broker said, well, I wondered about that myself, why he's so different. But said, you know, back in Africa, said his father is the king of a tribe. And said, though he's alienated from the homeland, though he's in the faraway land, said he knows that he's a child of the king. Hallelujah. And say, therefore, he just behaved himself like a child of the king, knowing his father is a king in Africa. Hallelujah. Now, if that would make a slave do that, glory to God, to know that his father was a king, how much more it ought to make us, knowing that Jesus Christ is our king. Amen. And that we're sons of the living God. Though we're alienated from home, though we're far from home, amen, yet we're behaving ourselves like king because we want to adorn the gospel. We want to defeat the devil. We want to stop the mouth of the gainsayer. Too long, the church of the living God, people have pointed their finger at them, and they have accused them, and so forth like that. And many times, sad to say, they had a right to do it because we were at fault. Many times they've pointed their families at Ben Howard. Say, he may be a good man, but I just don't like the way he do. Well, I might not have been doing so good in the way I would try to get, you know, zealous for God. You know, maybe feel like walking up and shaking somebody and say, don't you see it? This is right. Amen. But brothers and sisters, there's a greater way. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Hallelujah. We are children of the King in this hour. We're representing the true church, and that true church is coming forth. The power of God is coming forth. Glory to God. And people are going to see the glory of God upon our lives. We are going to adorn the gospel so much that it's going to defeat the devil. Those that would speak evil against us will have nothing to say. There's a scripture in the book of 1 Peter. First Peter, the 2nd chapter. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to read first verses 11 and 12 in 1 Peter. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Oh, praise God. Do you see the warning that this man of God was giving? I beseech you, abstain from fleshly lust that would war against the soul. Watch. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, I want you to notice that very, very careful, that scripture there. Amen. That they, watch now. That whereas they speak against you as evil, they That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may behold your good work, which they shall behold in the day of visitation. And verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of the foolish. Amen. Do you see that adorning the gospel of God? Brother Bill, they'll have nothing that's evil to say against us. Amen. They may speak evil against us, but they got to back up and feel ashamed. Amen. We're not a beat-down group of people. We're a powerful group of people. Praise God. And reading on down, starting with verse 19 here in the same chapter, it says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man is, for conscience sake towards God, endure grief and suffering wrongful. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." And then it goes on down there, Christ being our example, who when he was rebuked, he took it patiently, and so forth, showing the great things of Christ. Amen. And just a little more there we could read, but I'm afraid we'll get too much time here. I want to just bring into a closing place real quick, get back to Titus chapter 3, showing that Christ commands us to maintain good works, to adorn the gospel. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many knows when we come into the family of God, we come under the spiritual law of Christ. Amen. Then we're no longer free to do our will, but we're bought with a price. Therefore, we've got to glorify God in our body and in our spirits, which are God's. Amen. Now, notice this verse here, and I'm trying to hurry now, so I won't hold you very much more long here. All right, I want to read verses 8 and 9 here of Titus 2. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." Praise God. There are certain things that we need to affirm constantly. And this is one of them, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now notice that. They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Not these that have believed in God go on, live any old way, do any old thing and so forth, but be careful to maintain good work, for this is the will of God. Amen. The life of Christ comes in. Then when that takes place, glory be to God, then we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. We realize we're bought with a price. When I walk down the street, I'm not representing Ben Howard. For Ben Howard's name doesn't have a bit of salvation in it. And I hope this isn't offensive. I don't think it will, or I wouldn't say it. But there's not a bit of salvation in Bill Chapman's name. Amen. There's only one name whereby we can be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Him and in Him alone is salvation. Therefore, we're here. I'm not here representing myself. I'm here representing the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. That's why, though I'm way away from my natural home, amen, I'm going to be saved myself like a child of the King. Glory to God, telling you there's something for the church. Amen. The devil is defeated. He's trembling. He's running. Glory to God, because the church of the living God is realizing that they're the purchase of God. Amen. That we're more than conquerors. Amen. And they're realizing, praise God, the people of God are, that the only way to defeat the devil is to come with the Word, obey the Word, walk with the Word, represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that would have anything evil to say against you will feel ashamed. Amen. God will stop the mouth of the gainsayers. The next verse says, but foolish question avoid. God giving this, through St. Paul giving this to Titus, but foolish question avoid. You know, sometimes you got to avoid foolish questions, because a lot of people, they might ask questions that would try to trick you. Adorning the gospel of Christ. How many knows what that is now? Adorning. making it look good. Amen. If you ran your car through a mud hole tomorrow, you're not going to drive that car around 2 weeks all muddied up, are you?
Amen.
No, you're going to get to a car wash and get it washed up, because you know why? You'll be ashamed to drive it down. My car got a dent on it. I told Brother Bill, I said I was ashamed to drive it up to you, but I couldn't get it fixed because I'd already scheduled here. Amen. Well, if I'm that way about my car, I certainly won't be that way about the image of Christ. Amen. If I say any little thing, do anything, something that's offensive, I want to say, God, forgive me, because I want to make it. Lord, fill me with the love of God, and I'd better quit preaching right now. God bless.
The upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, to pray as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's mighty tableland. Yes, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Some may dwell where these abound.